Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear.
Don't I look good? I didn't have anybody. You just laughed. You didn't. It just tore my ego totally apart there, you know. No, I know how I looked. I told somebody the other day. I ran in and told Linda, said, "You've got to change that picture in the bathroom. There's the ugliest old man in there I've ever seen in my life." She said, "That's a mirror." I think I've told that before. But old people like to repeat stuff. They don't think you've heard it like they have before. But we're glad to have you here. If you're visiting, we appreciate you coming by and being with us. We got Danny and Elizabeth and Charlotte with us, my son from Atlanta. Glad to have them here. We went up Friday night and Saturday night to see our other grandson and granddaughter. They were in, Celebration? Something Celebration up there from Mars Hill. All that singing and stuff. And he sang. My grandson sang. Danny leaned over to me and said, "He didn't get that from your side of the family, did he?" You know, I'd leave him out of the inheritance, but I don't have any money. It's great for you to be here today. And I hope you feel good about being here. If you don't, change your mind. Because we are here with the Lord's people. And that's a wonderful thing. That's just a great thing. Now, this lesson this morning is a little bit different. But I wanted it to be. Because I want us to look at something, and I'm not just trying to get political. That's not what a preacher needs to do. We don't need to do that. Preachers are supposed to be preaching the truth, trying to help people to understand how to follow God's way and how to follow God's way in a great way and enjoy it while they're doing it. I hope you enjoy your Christianity and you enjoy what you have. So, you know, we're looking at the idea of the dumbing down of decency. Now, have you heard this idea of dumbing down America? Maybe you haven't heard that, but it is there. And I kind of believe it to a certain extent, because have you thought about some of the TV shows we got? Jeff Foxworthy's got one, "Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?" Have you seen that? You know what the answer to that is? No. We're not smarter than a fifth grader. Some of those fifth graders know a lot more stuff than we have. But what I like, Jay Leno has this thing where he goes and interviews people on the street. And he'll talk to them about government, about, you know, politics, about just a whole bunch of subjects, geography. And he'll ask them questions. And you have people on there that have college educations that don't know anything. One little girl was on there one time, and she just finished school, was going to be a teacher in the school. And he asked her, "Who's the Vice President of the United States?" And she was, I don't think I know. I don't think I know. He said, "Well, you know, it's abiding something that you need to know." She still didn't know it. Couldn't come up with it. Now, don't think I'm just knocking teachers. But are we really helping people to understand about the country that we live in? Are we really helping people to know what they have and what's going on? What are the three branches of the government? Which I don't know. Judge and jury and convicted a person, I guess. That's got to be it. We need to know about the nation that we are part of. We need to know about God and God's will. We need to know about those things. And so shows like this help us to see that maybe we're not as intelligent as we think we are. And we need to know that. It's kind of an insulting thing when you talk about how that the dumbing down of America and the dumbing down of us. But we need to know this and we need to understand this. And so what we're going to do today is to look at this just a little bit and understand a little bit more about it, hopefully. How did it happen that we lost our knowledge of the nation we're a part of? We have so many things today. Can you imagine 50 years ago, they may have had a radio, and if you're rich, you had a radio and you listened to the stuff there when you had a chance, because most of the time you were working, you didn't have a chance to hear about all this stuff. But now we've got all this stuff. I mean, we got iPads. We got phones, you know. You may be sitting there today looking at Scripture on your phone and all. And isn't that wonderful? We've got all this. You got Google. Oh. And you can get all this information. I got a thing on my phone. You can hit that thing and ask it a question, and it'll answer you back. And usually it's correct. We've got all this way to gain all this knowledge, but here we are. We don't understand the nation that we're a part of. We don't read that much anymore. You say, well, oh, I've got Kindle. I read. Yes, we do. But we're so busy with everything that we get centralized in on one thing. Now, are you a Rush Limbaugh? Are you Glenn Beck? Are you Hannity? Now, I know the right side. I don't know the left side that much, okay? But it's just about as bad. Do we get and just listen to one person, what they have to say, and we just speak what they say, we say what they say, and just like it's an authority there? We don't look at both sides of things. We don't investigate things to see what's true and what's right and what's not. We just accept whatever anybody tells us, whatever maybe anybody has written. We just accept it and we don't think anything about it. And we don't know our history. We don't know the history of this nation. We don't know our faults. We don't know our problems. We don't know what we have overcome. We don't understand the purpose of the beginning of it. And some people are rewriting the beginning of this country into a different thing. And that's bad. That's terrible. I don't want that to happen. But it's happening. Now, I think that's important. But what I want us to see is something that is even more important than that. Is there a dumbing down in religion? Do we really, not just are we religious, but do we really know about religion? We live in a nation of religious people. We live in a nation that sometimes, according to what statistic you look at and what statistician you look at, it can be 89% of the people are Christians in this nation. That's dropping a little bit and all this. And then you start looking at how many people go to church, and it drops down to maybe 30%, 38%, something like that. Well over half. I thought religion, you were supposed to be religious. But you see, we have the idea, and we've missed this somehow. That's the reason that commercial announcement, that's the reason that we're looking at immersed in discipleship on Sunday morning. You need to come and listen to that. The people today overwhelmingly said that that was the best looking teacher they've ever seen in their life. At least I told them that. But come to Bible class. We want to learn about these things. We need to understand about religion. We need to understand about what we're doing here. What has happened to us in religion? That we don't study the Bible anymore. I've already mentioned, you got iPads, you've got phones, you've got all this stuff. You can buy CDs and cassettes and, you can get it on, put it on a little finger thing. What do you call those things? Thumb drive? That's it. Somebody's out there smarter than I am. Well, there's a whole bunch of people out there smarter than I am, but I didn't want to bring that up. You can put it on a thumb drive, stick it in that little thing in your car. You can listen to it all you want to. We've got all these avenues of knowing the Word of God. But it seems like we know less about God's Word than the people of the past. And we need to know what God's Word is. We need to understand that. We have redefined what the idea of decency and indecency is. We've redefined in religion what's right and what's wrong. I mentioned in the Bible class this morning that the other day I heard this, I think it was on television or some computer or something, where they're talking about a church had decided that they're going to do same-sex marriages. And I'm going, yeah, but what does the Bible say about that? What does God's Word say about that? But now, if you say anything about that, you know what? Oh, you hate people. I don't hate anybody, but if it's wrong, it's wrong. It's not a matter of me hating anybody. And in fact, I'm going to tell you something. If you're a Christian and you hate homosexuals, you better get up to the front. Come on up here now and sit down. You need to hear the sermon. You can't hate people. And I don't hate them. I think their lifestyle is wrong. And I've got to be honest and tell them about that. I don't have to be happy about telling them about that either. I don't have to be coarse and wrong about doing that. I've got to be willing to tell them the truth there. And we've got to understand it. Now, Isaiah 59 was read just a while ago, the first few verses there of that, where the people there were wondering, where in the world is God at? Where has He gone? We're praying, but we're not getting what we want. We're religious, but it's just not fulfilling. Where's the problem at? So they came up with a solution, like most of the time we do. Oh, it's God's fault. It's not ours. Oh, the Lord is getting old, and he can't hold up things anymore, and he's kind of, you know, falling around. He said, it's not that. He said, the reason that God's not blessing you is because you've separated yourself from God. You're not with God. You're not a part of God like you need to be. Listen as he goes on in chapter 59. I want you to read this just a little bit and understand or read Isaiah 59 sometime. But look at verse 9 if you have your Bibles open. If you don't, that's okay. Fairness has gone far away. Goodness is nowhere to be found. We wait for the light, but there is only darkness now. We hope for a bright light, but all we have is darkness. And then he goes on to talk about how that people are blind and they're falling around and they're having to hold on to things. What's he saying there? He's saying people have closed their eyes to God's message. They've closed their eyes to God's will. They've turned away from that. And because of that, they don't know which way they're going. We've got to come back to God. We've got problems that we're dealing with. Now, what are some of the problems that we face? Okay. What did I do with that clicker thing? I'm supposed to be doing that too. The problems we face. Preachers. Might as well start at the top and work your way down. Preachers. The preaching of the gospel. We have taken the preaching of the gospel and we have turned that into something that is to please people. Like a writer in the New Testament talked about, people have itching ears and they want to hear certain things. And so if you're not careful as a preacher, that's what you'll give people, what they want to hear. Because it makes it so much easier for you. But they were condemning that there. We have broken down the idea of a preacher standing up and preaching the truth. Now please understand, when I talk about preachers preaching the truth, that does not mean that the preacher has a right to just get up and browbeat everybody. What his job is to do is to deliver the Word of God and say, look at this Word here. Look at what the Word says. Are you following the Word? Not are you following the preacher? Too many preachers or too many people are following the preachers and not following the Word of God. And they need to come back to the Word of God and what He has to say. We have a breakdown as far as what preachers are teaching. Morality has changed. Years ago, same-sex marriage was wrong and should not be. Has it changed? Did you read in this book where there's a revision there? In that book that this part is now gone out of the way? All this is wrong. Unwed mothers. Honestly, what do you do? What does the church do about that? What do we say about that? Or we just put our blinders on and say, we're not going to say a thing about it. We're not going to do a thing about it. We're not going to say anything about it. We're not going to do anything about it. Or do we say that this is wrong? Again, please, it doesn't mean that we treat anybody wrong. You never, never, ever treat people wrong, even when they sin. You don't do that. You treat them with a love and a kindness and a care. The family is not the family anymore like it needs to be, like God would have it to be. Now, I'm not talking about families that like in the 50s, you know, the Ozzie and Harriet, where I don't know what job he had. He never went to work. He was always there. That's got to be a dream world anyhow. That woman's going to want that man to leave to go somewhere. Get him out of the house. We don't know the answer to all the questions. So Sometimes we don't even know the questions. But what we've got to do is to be drawn back to what God says within His Word and find out what God says about that and look at how God feels about that. That's what we've got to do. We talk about blended families today. You know what that is? That's trying to take somebody that's got kids over here, somebody that's got kids over here, and put them together as a family. And we think that's not a problem. Oh, yes, it is. It's difficult in the society and the world we're living in today. What do we do about this? How do we handle this? How do we look at these things? Has God reversed how He feels about things? If He has, where did He tell us that? Where do we look in His Word? Now, maybe a better question we need to ask ourselves is, are we going to change the trend? Are we going to go back to people not just living together, but people getting married? The divorce rate is down because people are just not getting married anymore. Simple. But that's a problem. What do we say about that? What do we do about that? Are we going to change all that and go back to like it was maybe when you were younger or maybe when your parents were younger and it was the family and all this together and it would seem to be so nice and so wonderful? Let me tell you something. It's not going to go back. We've done gone too far for it to go back like it was. We've got to understand it's not going to change and we're going to have to help it to change. And that's what I want to talk about today. What we can do to help it to change. We're not going to reverse the trend. I'm sorry. I wish I could tell you we would. I really wish I could tell you we would, but we're not going to. What do we do then? Do we just throw up our hands and forget all about it and just accept everything and just go on in our Christian life and just say, well, I don't know anything about that. I don't know what God's Word says. Or I really don't want to know what God's Word said. But you know what we have done? We have come up with this idea of blaming other people. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when God came to Adam and said, Adam, you have sinned. You know what He did? God, you're right. I sin. But let me tell you, see that woman sitting over there? She's the one that did it. And she got me into it. And when God went over to Eve and said, Eve, what happened here? She said, it's not me, it's that serpent. One of the first principles of the Bible is pass the buck. Blame somebody else for it. So what we do in our society, we blame the government. Those politicians down there, they're not doing what they need to do. Granted, I agree with you. But you put them back in office, so what do you expect? We're looking for the government to change that. Let me tell you something. Listen, the government's not going to change it. The government is a reflection of the people and their ideas. And a greater number of the people say these things are okay. They're not wrong. Okay, who else can we blame? Education. Those teachers. Oh, those teachers. They're supposed to be teaching our kids to live right and to do right. If you believe that, they do the best they can. But there's a lot they can't do because their hands are tied behind their back. Don't look for education to do it. What's going to do it then? Do we just accept it the way it is? Do we just accept things like they are and just cover our heads up and wait for it all to blow up? Or what can we do about that? How can we handle that? There's got to be a way to handle that. The government's not going to do it. Education's not going to do it. Well, okay, who's going to do that? It's got to be Christian people. In Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16, listen to this. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its salty taste, it cannot be made salty again. You can't take salt that is no longer salty and make it salty again. That's what he's trying to say. Well, what's it good for then? He said, just throw it out on the street and let people walk on it. But, and maybe they won't fall when it gets cold. But he said, you're the salt of the earth. But if you don't have that flavor about you, if you don't have that idea about you of helping people to see the right way and do the right way, then it's going to be a problem. You're a light that gives light to the world. Every time I read that, I think about when those astronauts were going over America or other countries, you could see lights down there. You would think from where they were in space, you couldn't see anything, but you couldn't hide those things. Then he goes on to say, well, now what do? Do you take a lamp and you light it and then you put a bowl over it? He said, you don't do that. The purpose of lighting the lamp is to give light. But he said, don't cover it up. Don't hide it. Let it do those things that needs to be done. In the same way, you should be a light for other people. Did you hear that? You should be a light for other people. You should be a light for other people. Live so that they will see the good things that you do and that they will praise your Father in heaven. We're saying, what can we do? It's somebody else's problem. Somebody else has done this. Somebody else has created these things. All these things have happened. What are we going to do about that? How are we going to handle that? Now, Billy Graham said, don't fall out on that one. Billy Graham said, if this country keeps going like it is, God may have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And that may be true. Because of the things, the way we're living it. Read Isaiah 59. Here, the people are wondering, what's wrong with God? And the prophet is saying, it's not God, it's you. You've got to change. You've gone away from God. Come back to God. God will help you. God will give you the greatest things that could ever be. God will help you in every way. Come back to God. And He'll help you. Reality check again. Is the world going to change? Is it going to get any better? It may if Christian people wake up and do what they're supposed to do, it will change. But if they do not, forget they, if we do not, there's no hope. You say, oh, why can't you preach a positive sermon? That's so discouraging. Truth is truth. And it has to be said. And we have to know what the truth of God says. Isaiah 59 and verse 15, truth cannot be found anywhere. And he's talking about here, these people, Israel. And the people refuse to do evil, or the people who refuse to do evil will be attacked. Sound like a country you know about? Sound like a time you know about? It's happening. The church has got to stand up and be the church. Christian people have got to stand up and be Christian people. Preachers have got to preach that things are wrong and things are right, and they've got to do it with the right kind of spirit. How did Jesus treat the prostitutes? How did He treat the prostitutes? How did He treat the tax? Well, my tongue's getting in the way. How did He treat the tax collectors? He corrected a problem. But He let those people know that He loves them. Brethren, sometimes we kind of act like and sound like we're glad people are lost. We need to get that out of our vocabulary, out of our attitude, and help people to see the way to God, the way to follow God and to do God's will. It may get in this country where preachers who are not willing to perform same-sex marriages, or they're going to have to face some kind of civil problem, maybe even arrested because of that. Churches that will not allow that. They may lose their tax-exempt status or something else or whatever it is. That makes no difference at all. We worry about the consequences. What we need to worry about is teaching what God's Word teaches. And living that. It's not a matter of teaching. Because if you ask people, are you religious? They'll say, yeah. Where do you go to church? Oh, I don't go to church. I hadn't been to church in 50 years. But I'm religious. No, you're not. It's the simplest thing in the world to realize God wants us to be at the assembly. I mean, How much intelligence does it take to know that's what he wants? How much intelligence does he take for us to know that we need to observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week? That we need to give of our means. We need to do those things. What's the solution then? What's the solution for the dangers that we have? Brethren, what we've got to have is we've got to have people living and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It goes back to simple, not complicated. Don't blame anybody else. Because if you're not willing to be a part of the church and an active part working in the church, don't blame anybody else. Don't blame the government. Don't blame the teachers or anybody else. Look in the mirror. It's you. What are you doing? How are you living your life? How are you showing in your life the gospel of Jesus Christ? Where's religion in your life? That's the important thing. We're blaming other people. We're blaming other things. Forget that. What am I doing? What's my responsibility? Acts 10, verses 34 and 35, Peter says these words. I really understand now that to God, every person is the same. There's no difference. In every country, God accepts anyone who worships Him and does what is right. That's what it is. How are we going to change the world? Romans 1 and verse 16 said that God's power is the gospel. God's power is the word. We're looking for something else when what we need to do is look to the word of God. And we need to live it. We need to teach it with all the love and compassion that we have. You cannot teach the gospel right if you're going to be mad at somebody. Don't even try it. Learn to love and care for people. Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19. His purpose was coming. In coming to this world was so that we would know what was right and what was wrong. And we could know it in a simple way. Religion is not complicated. If it is, it's not the religion of Jesus Christ. It's simple. Do you do His will? Not complicated. What must I do to be saved? Repent and be baptized, and God will add you to the church as those people that want to follow Him, that want to be plugged for the Bible class, want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Brethren, let's stand up for God. Let's us stand up for God's word. Don't do it with a haughty spirit. Don't do it with a wrong attitude, but do it with a right attitude. And stand up and speak up in all love and all compassion. That's what Jesus did. Somebody said He made a whip. Didn't say He hit a person. Had animals to go out. Oh, we want to hit. Did He hit a person? Did He not hit a person? That's not it. You missed the point of the whole lesson. He's saying God's house is not a place of merchandise. God's house is a place of righteousness. It's a place of peace. It's a place where you are encouraged to go back out into this world and to suffer those things that you've got to suffer. Do what you've got to do in order to help people to see the right way. What's the point of the lesson today? It's not to talk about the government and how bad we are, how things are not going good in the government. That's not it. If you think that's what the lesson was for, you've missed the whole thing. It's to tell us, as those that are Christians, that we need to stand up for what is right. In a kind way, in a nice way, we need to do that. But don't go to work and stand up for what is right and then you live wrong. You need to learn to live right. You need to set the example. Parents need to set the example for their children. Children need to set the example for other people, for other children. We need to help people to know that. We got to do that. Simple. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, we will help you and assist you in every way we can for you to become a child of God. And it's not that complicated, people. If those first century people could understand what to do to become a Christian without all the things we got, if they could understand that, then you can understand it. It's that simple. come and be a Christian today. But if there's sin in your life, and see, this is, I would dare say most of the people here are Christians, okay? Is there sin in your life? And we're going to get the world straightened out. We're going to get religion straightened out. We're going to get other people straightened out. Let me tell you something. It starts with you getting your life straightened out and me getting my life straightened out. That's where it's got to start. But we're looking around at somebody else and seeing somebody else and the things that are wrong in their life and, well, I'm not as bad as them. Oh, listen, I don't care. Compare yourself to Jesus Christ and see how you come out. We plead with you today to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ wherever you are spiritually. Come to Christ. He will save. He will cleanse. Please come right now as we stand and as we sing.